Okay, here we are, revving up to Revelation, right? Okay, so we have Revelation here. And it's been revealed to us because it's an important book for many reasons. But we're going to focus on one reason, is the Lamb of God here this morning. It's the Lamb of God, that perfect sacrifice that was made for the sins of this world. And it's a choice that people have to make. People need to know the Lord. He's the open door, like that song goes. And I looked at last week, and when John was taken up to heaven, the first thing he saw was what? The throne of God. And that word we talked about being caught up is the same word used as it was the word rapture. Okay, harbatizo in the Greek, okay, and we looked at it last week. Well, you know what? Rapture's not in the Bible. Well, and the Bible was originally written from different manuscripts, from the Hebrew, also from the Greek and the Latin, and you have, in the Arabic, excuse me, and you had as it was, the Septuagint came from these different manuscripts. And then, of course, you had the Latin Vulgate. And, of course, that's where we get a word rapture, being caught up. People said there's no word in the Bible called rapture. Well, you do your studies, it's the same word in the Greek as the word being caught up. So we looked at that, and Christ is there at the door. John went up in the Spirit, saw God's throne room. First thing you see, and then, of course, and that was Christ. Now, remember, in chapter 4, that is Christ that we see. Chapter 5, we're going to look at the Lamb. The first thing you see, of course, is the Father. And who is standing at the right hand of the Father in chapter 5 is Jesus Christ. Okay? So I want to make that perfectly clear so there's no confusion, because Satan is the author of confusion. He wants to mess with your head. Don't let him do that. Stay strong in the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. So John was caught up. He was present. He saw the worship. He saw the seraphim, the four living creatures. We looked at that. We're not going to get into a big review of last week, but the reason why I'm bringing this up is that we discussed the crowns. And we saw the 24 elders. And that's going to be brought up in chapter 5 as well. And that is the church. Okay? I'm not going to get into a long expose. We talked about it last week. And then, of course, you know, John was there. He saw what was going on. And then, of course, we looked at many other interesting things. But, you know, we also looked here in verse 8 in chapter 4, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So he's coming back. Isn't that wonderful? He's coming back. And I believe every day that we're getting sooner and sooner, closer and closer to what? The blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Those who are dead in Christ will rise first, and those who remain will be caught up with him in the air. The rapture. So, and of course, we left off in chapter 4, verse 11, was that you are worthy, O Lord. You receive glory and honor, power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And there was a lot more we talked about, but remember, we are created for what? God's pleasure. It's not about us. It's about him and about what he's doing in our lives. And if we could just only get a glimpse and open our minds up to what God's doing in our lives and just stop thinking about ourselves and be more focused about him. So, and I know that's a struggle, because our worst enemy, like we talked about, is ourselves, our pride, our ego. What about it? What's in it for me, Lord? And, you know, God wants to bless us, and he has blessed us, but until God can bless us more, we're just going to have less of ourselves and more of him. So, Today, we're looking at the vision of Lamb. I want to focus on Lamb today because it's so essential. Because at this time, the church has been raptured. Now, Revelation chapter 6 through 19, we're going to be looking at the tribulation period. It's interesting. Those four seals we're going to look at next week. What is going to take place. So, we're going to go through some expository preaching here. So we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. We're going to look at searching for the worthy one. Verses 5 through 7, the selection of the worthy one, which is Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, the song of the worthy one, verses 8 through 14. We have a wonderful musicians here. They sing. They give praise to God. We stand here. This is a picture of heaven. And I will be in heaven, Lord willing, with you all. It's my salvation. It's a constant growing in the Lord by faith. We are justified like Job. Somebody said in Wednesday night, well, what about Job? The Spirit came and went. That was a logical question, and I came back with a logical answer. Job is justified by faith just like Abraham was, just like we all are. We're growing, and at that point we accepted Christ into our heart, and confession is made, and we tell people about Christ has done our life, but we have to come to that realization it's by faith. So John is presently in heaven, chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So you've heard the expression, oh, there's my right hand man. I'd rather be right than wrong. I wouldn't say right than left, because there are some people here that write with their left. I have to be careful about that. My wife's one of them, too. She goes, what? Okay. So it's right hand is a symbol here of authority. Okay? So there is something happening here, and if we don't be careful, we're going to miss it. The throne is also a place of authority. So you have God the Father and God the Son in Revelation chapter 5. Okay? Revelation chapter 4, you have Jesus. Okay? Remember the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one. Okay? When you hear about the seven spirits of God, that is a complete picture of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, it's mentioned 40 times, the throne, place of authority, in the book of Revelation. So if it keeps on repeating itself, pay attention. You know, remember, put Christ on the throne of your heart. Get yourself off your throne, okay? The scroll is mentioned here. So, and I saw the right hand of him who sat on the throne. A scroll was written inside on the back, sealed with seven seals. Okay? It's mentioned 8 times, the word scroll. Okay, back in the day when the Caesar would be on the throne, Augustus, for example, what historians tell us, is that they would have a long scroll. Okay, it was usually made of wood, and it was with papyri, with paper, and it would come out pretty long. And there was a reason, because before their subjects, if they were talking about before the Senate, if they had another discussion, I'm not going to talk about politics, my goodness, I get lost in C-SPAN and all that. But when they would do it, they would have scribes and they'd write down, and when they were finished, they'd put a seal on it. And then when they were continued to talk about things, they'd put another seal on it. Remember, these seven seals are representative of what? Of the coming tribulation, the seven seals. Okay, and like I said, next week we're going to look at the first four seals. So that's how it was done. So the reader at this time understood why it was done. Okay, so remember, it's already focused on that time period and how things are done. So there was also with the seals, they had the idea of it being a document. It was also used as a title deed. okay? You had those that had that, and it was important because it was symbolic of what the earth, the title deed of the earth. And so remember, God created the heavens and earth, the Elohim, the plural, okay, all three of the Godhead originally. And originally God gave it over to what? Adam and Eve, to what? To take care of and to be fruitful and to multiply. It was a beautiful, wonderful creation. God made it perfect, no flaws. And Satan came along. And then Adam and Eve, they fell. And that deed went over to Satan. Now remember, Satan is still the prince and power of the air. God is allowing him to rule and reign, but he does not control the earth. Jesus Christ, amen, took that away from him. What a horrible scene it would be if we had to live without Christ in a sinful world. It would make no sense. Nothing would make sense. Thank God things make sense when you have Christ, amen? Because we have a hope. We have a blessed hope. And he's coming back. So Jesus came. He died on the cross. He now controls. He has the deed to the earth. He rules and reigns. And one day we will be ruling and reigning with him. I'll get into that more further on in the book of Revelation. We'll be kings because we'll sit on thrones, as well as we'll be priests. And priests, what? They serve. They serve the risen Savior. So we have so much to look forward to in the book of Revelation. Just every time we reveal things to one another and the blessings that we have been to one another, just gets us excited. We're just overjoyed. What God, what a, such a great salvation we have. If only we learn and we keep on learning, and that's good enough for us. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 through 13, there was a time for Daniel. It was not ready yet for the seal to be broken. Okay? And so it says, but to you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal this book until the time of the end, that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. And that's what's happening right now. You can't keep up with what's going on with the computers and robots and Elon Musk and all that. It's just going by so quick. Okay? And people are going to and fro. Then, and I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on the riverbank and the other on the riverbank, and one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters and the rivers? How long shall this fulfillment of these wonders be? Verse 7, then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, held up in the right hand, his left hand in heaven, swore by him, lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and the power of the holy people have been completely shattered, and these things shall be finished. And although I heard, I did not understand. I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? We're living right now in Daniel's 69th week. The 70th week is the tribulation. So we're right at that time right now. Okay? We're during the dispensation of the time of grace. Okay? So Daniel has been told, and he says, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end, may be purified, made white, and refined, and the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. We're wise enough that the wicked do prosper. Look what's going on today. But there is a time when it stops. People had enough of the wickedness. And God sends in somebody to stop it. God's over all the rulers. The reason why I'm saying this is because Jesus Christ, thank God he was the one, the Lamb of God, that was able to open the seals. And from the time the daily sacrifice taken away, the abomination of desolation is set up. That's when the Antichrist comes in during the middle of the tribulation. We talked about last week that the Jewish authorities, the high priest right now in Jerusalem, about having to the third temple built. I believe it's like Ezekiel 38, 39. I believe it's going to happen when the Antichrist comes. He's going to make a false peace. Then he's going to say, okay, you can rebuild it, because what the Jewish authorities, the rabbis today say, we need to see God in the flesh before us before he can give us the authority. That's what I talked about last week, okay? Don't waste your time wondering about when the third temple is going to be built. I really believe that's going to happen. It's going to happen either before Ezekiel 38-39 at this time. Well, this is in Revelation chapter 5, or maybe right after, but the church won't be here, okay? Because God's going to deal with Russia and the other four nations. We talked about that last week. For you go your way into the end, for the and you shall rest, and shall arise in your inheritance in the end of the day. So I'm saying, Daniel, don't be concerned about it. Just keep on doing what you've been called to do. You look at Daniel and the book of Revelation, they go coincide side by side. But Daniel, my point is, wasn't the time yet for these things to be revealed. We look at John, it's time for these things to be revealed. We're looking at the church today. God is revealing this time. I want to encourage you, because time is going by so quick. They say that when you get older, and I'm a believer, right? So, we see here in verses 2 through 4, moving right quite along, the search for the worthy one says, and I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen the seals. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. In other words, there was nobody like the angels, nobody like Elijah, Joshua, or Moses, or Jeremiah, and Peter or Paul. Nobody in heaven was worthy. Why? Because there had to have been one who had the deed. Someone who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Thank God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we're so close to heaven. We are so close. I can almost taste it. Okay? And so, moving quite along here, we see here that, so I wept much. John started to weep because he's like, oh, there's got to be somebody who can do this, who can take this seal and break it. Somebody who's got the deed. And you know what? God took it away from Satan. And John was human, of course. And remember, he was John the Beloved. He was there in the right hand with Jesus at the Lord's Supper. And who was on the other side? It was Judas, who betrayed Christ. John loved Jesus. He was his beloved. So he wept very much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look into it. But one of the elders, and like I said, the elders is representation of 24 is a completion of that of the church. And I got into last week why I think it is the church. I'm not going to get into it. There are four or five interpretations to it. If you think it's somebody else, that's your, it's okay with me, okay? I don't argue ever. I have more things to argue with people about. I like to lead them to the Lord, and that's okay. So, one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah." Now, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, that was the title given to Messiah. It was a symbol of the lion. He is the most in the representative of the tribe of Judah, of Israel. And he was also from the lineage of David through that kingly line. That's why it says here, "Behold, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open." He came through that lineage, through Christ, through King David's lineage. Okay, that's why he's called the Son of David. He came through David's loins, so to speak, the perfect Son of God, the one who prevailed. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered this evil world we live in. He conquered Satan and all his evil forces. He conquered all, and he rules with authority and power. He has conquered hell as well. So that's something to be very much encouraged about. So as we see here, there is one, behold, Jesus Christ. And I looked and beheld, verse 6, it says, "And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain." Okay, I'm going to stop there. There is a lamb that was slain. I really believe at this time it was a picture of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the Son of God? I'm sure John looked at this and the bruises and the battering that he took. Okay, they used to call it in the Roman day when they had prisoners, they put a bag over their head and they'd take punches at his face. Some of you in the medical field understand this, and I don't want to get grotesque about it. Can you imagine somebody's face? They used to call it elephantitis, where the swelling, you couldn't even tell what the person looked like, let alone. And you can imagine all the bones in your facial structure being broken. You imagine your hair being pulled out, your beard being pulled out, just blow after blow. But yet this all rang home to the lamb that was slain, a perfect lamb who was innocent, who never cried out. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called millions upon millions and just done everything. But he was there. He even understood Lazarus, and he wept. Remember that? Jesus wept, and he even understood what death was like. And he hated death more than anything else. He hates death, but yet death and hell and the grave were working him over, and this lamb, this Jesus Christ was there. We see that he is victorious, thank God for that. But there had to have been a sacrifice, and Jesus was counted worthy as a sacrifice. In Revelation there's 20 times mention of the lamb. Genesis 22:8 says, "Abraham and Isaac, to Isaac, God will provide a lamb," and he did. Exodus 12:5 says, "The Passover, your lamb shall be without blemish." Jesus was the only perfect lamb. Today, Jewish people at Passover do the Paschal lamb. And it has to be a perfect lamb for during their Passover. It's right there. They don't get it because sometimes we don't get it during spiritual lessons that God's teaching us today. I want you to be mature. I want you to be holy. I want you to be separate unto me. Jesus is calling out to us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. I know it goes against everything who we are, our pride, the way God has blessed us, who we think we are. I got that. God loves us. He wants to use us. God has got us right where he wants us. Isaiah 53:7, "The servant of the Lord, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter." John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that was taken away the sins of the world." There is a song I have to say here, put out by Ray Baltz, is called "I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb." Now, my wife could sing this song, and I'm not a good singer. I'll put it to you that way. It says, "I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands." So I'll pledge allegiance to the Lamb. "I have heard how Christians long ago were brought up before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear it as the voices ring." Got it? Revelation chapter 5. "Now as the years have come and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on, now our time has come to count the cost, to reject the world, to embrace the cross." Kind of hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes the cross is pretty tough this past week. "And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on that final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say to the Lamb of God who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame, I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. So that's my prayer this week, that we will be pledged. You know, we used to be in high school. Remember elementary school? Remember, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, you know, so on and so forth. You know, we need to pray for our kids. We need to pray for our school systems. I don't know what's happening with this next generation, but if things don't change, this country is an awful lot of trouble, because there's a lot of confused kids out there, a lot of kids playing God out there and pretending there's no accountability, no authority. So there is a, just to go on, and there's so much more I could say, but I'm going to be careful with my time here. So we see here, they're looking for the search for the worthy one, and then the selection of the worthy one we're looking at here in verses 5 through 7. It says here, verse 6, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb as though it had been slain." And we see the seven horns. It's talking about his omnipotence, his power. He's powerful. He's all powerful. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. When they mocked Jesus, when they looked at him at the cross, and we see this. It wasn't just there, put there yesterday for a reason. There's a reason why it's here today. When Christ could have called 10,000 angels, millions of angels, innumerable amount of angels to help. But he cried out, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Even today, I ask myself, I say, "Lord, forgive me. I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm lost. Sometimes I'm confused. Sometimes I'm bewildered. Sometimes I don't understand life." I'm saying this from my heart. My heart goes out to everybody, because we're all in this together. We're all in the same race. We're all picking each other up. Come on, let's go. Let's go. And the battle's getting intense, and the bombs are going off around us, and the machine gun fire is flying over us. And we're saying, boy, got to put that armor on. You know, got to have that sword of the Spirit. We got to fight back. So there was the Lamb that was slain. Thank God for that. Who had seven horns, symbolic of his power, seven eyes. In other words, he's omnipotent. In other words, he knew all things. He knows all things that are going on. My problem is that I don't trust him like I should. My problem is that I don't take his word sometimes. Sometimes I forget him. Only because I'm human, and only because I know that he forgives me. I don't use it for an excuse. I use it to tell you today, I'm human, you're human, forgive yourself. Ask God to forgive you. If you sinned, did something wrong with somebody, just say, "Lord, if I have to go to that person," sometimes you don't have to. Sometimes it's in your heart and you've already sinned. That other person doesn't know. Say, "Lord, I'm sorry." You know, if you feel better today and say, "Lord, I just need to go out to that person and I say, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you." You know, God died for you too. What right have I to say it any other way? And there were seven eyes, and there are the seven spirits of God as we looked at upon the earth. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, because, you know, the seven spirits are his restraining powers, his convicting power, his regeneration power, his sealing power, and baptizing power, and indwelling power, and his filling power. All the power is there. All the power to you, right? God loves you, and he cares about you. So, in verse 7, "And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." So you have Jesus who takes the scroll. Hallelujah. Thank God we have somebody who intercedes for us, somebody who has taken that deed, somebody who has taken it. And thank God he owns it today. It's there in heaven. And if we were to go home today and we'd say to the Lord, Lord, thank you so much. I thank you so much that you had the deed to the earth, that you rule and reign, that this evil world we live through every day, and some of you are just getting tired of the evil world that's going on, I know, and the sin and the frustrations and the suffering you go through every day, God's with you. Remember, he's got your hand on your shoulder, saying, get up, like he said to John, get up. I want to encourage you. I love you. So, going on here to say this, in verses 8 through 14, there's a song, there's three songs. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, they were the seraphim, we looked at that last week, they're around about the throne of God, worships him night and day, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and that's the church at this time, because it's already been raptured, it's taken up, that's you and I. Fell down before the Lamb, and each having a harp. And a harp is a symbolic of instrumental praise. Harp is a beautiful. I remember I went to one of the ladies here is in the concert era, and she's good at what she does. She plays in this orchestra, and there was a lady there with a harp. So beautiful. So beautiful. So gracious. But it's symbolic of praise. And then, of course, there was the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You know, God loves the smell of incense. It's like it was when the animals were slaughtered, when the lambs were slaughtered. They would take an innocent lamb. Let me get focused on the lamb again. They take a young lamb, which is a sheep is an older version of, you know what I mean. And they would take this lamb, it was without blemish, without spot. They would take it home from the marketplace, listen to me. They would treat it like a pet for 4 or 5 days. Now this is the part that is gut-wrenching. I'm an animal lover. I like animals. Okay, don't mess with the animals, right? Respect the animals. In other words, don't go up to a lion or a tiger and bear and say, oh, hi, I want it. You know, God's saying these comments. So, no, a little pet, you took the lamb home for like 4 or 5 days and you took care of it. A little you took care of the little lamb and you fed it and you watered it and you took it out and you played with it. Now listen, this is symbolic here of Jesus. He was innocent. He knew no wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He came to redeem us. So then they would take it to the marketplace, I mean, to the temple once a year during Pentecost, and they would take that. And you and your family, you could have multiple lambs or whatever you could afford. If you had like a morning doves, if you couldn't afford it, okay? So anyway, you take it to the temple, and they would slit the lamb's throat. Easy death, okay? But look at Jesus. He was battered. He was bruised. He was despised. His mother cried out at the cross, and he was there. And yet he loved, you know, the people. And remember, there's always people in your life. You have the two thieves on either side. And you have the one saying, yeah, if you're God, come down. You know, what's your problem? You say you're God. You ever had people look at you today? Say, you're Christian. You know, I expect more from you, or you're not good enough. Who do you think you are? And you look at them and with swollen eyes, and you're like, you know, look, I love you, and I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm not perfect, but God's forgiven me. He can forgive you too. Then you had the thief on the other side, says, Lord, remember me when you're in paradise. Remember me. He didn't ask for any thrills or whatever. He says, just remember me by faith. He was justified by faith. Right there. Just remember me, Lord. And today we're like, Lord, please remember me, because I know I cannot get to heaven. There is no way I can work my way to heaven. Forget it. That stopped a long time ago. You know, but you got churches today. I'm not going to get on the church bash. You got churches today. You got to work your way. And that something to the flesh that does you a good thing. You think inside, oh yeah, I got to work my way. And you realize it's all vanity, like Solomon says. It means nothing. Because it's all about you, you know. So, moving on here. So, the incense was given to the prayers of saints, and they sang a new song. And it says, you are the first one. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us by your blood. And out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations, you have made us. And I'm going to stop here. Remember that blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Remember, there's life in the blood. There are some teachers out there that are saying, you don't need the blood, you just need the cross. That's hogwash. Theology, hogwash. You need the cross and you need the blood. Okay, that was the sacrifice as well as the blood for the redemption of sins. You can't divide it. Be careful about these guys who speak big words, who look for entertaining, for looking for people, make them laugh, tell jokes all the time behind the pulpit. I'm about as serious as I'm going to get up here. And have made us kings. In other words, the thrones that we have. We are made kings in Christ. Authoritative figures. It comes to the millennial reign. We will rule and reign with him as kings. Looked at last week, we will have our crowns. I'm not going to get into all that. But one day we will cast them. And priests to our God. Priests labor, they work. They're working for the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Okay? So thank God our purpose is what? Twofold. Like it was in the Adam and Eve. They were to work in the garden and keep it and to worship God and have fellowship with it. And one day we will return to that. But we will be in a reflection of Christ. We will rule and reign with him in his reflection. Remember, all the honor and glory goes to him. All the crowns go to him. There's nothing we did. But he's generous. He loves us. He cares about us. Don't think about the past. During Sunday school, put those things behind you. Devil loves to yank you from behind. So Satan, get behind me. Keep with your cross. There's a lot of scars on you. A lot of scars on you. So keep bearing your cross. God will give you the grace. So there was and priests of our God, and we shall reign on earth. We will reign. Thank God. You know, I was coming down the road today. I was looking at all that people have out here. I'm very thankful. But I'm saying one day, this will all be gone. But God has given us stewardship to have what we have taken care of, to take care of, to bless us, to enjoy the hard work and labor with our hands. Some of you are hard workers. You give everything that you have. And then I looked and heard a voice of many angels and the throne of living creatures and the elders and the numbers of them, 10,000 times 10,000, thousands. In other words, saying, and this is the angels, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Power, they praise him for his power. The riches, they praise him for his riches. Wisdom, they praise him for his wisdom. Strength, they praise him for his strength. Honor, they praise him for his honor. And there's a reason why I'm repeating this over again. Just look at this one verse and think about, am I doing what's right with what God is doing? Is my worship right? And I praise him for his glory. And I praise him for his blessing. There's a reason why we sing songs today. Not this we can, and I know we don't do this. Please don't misunderstand. But we praise him. It's an expression of our worship. God takes that so seriously. God looks at our hearts and is saying, do you still love me? Do you still think about me? We don't do it for show here at our church. We do it for a purpose in a meeting. It's an expression to give thanksgiving to God. So moving along here, it says verse 13, says every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and I believe that's hell. I believe hell is under in the earth, because when Christ died, he went, it says in Peter, that he went into the uttermost parts of the earth. People say where hell is, that's where it is, for people who rejected the Lamb of God. And then it says here, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, the Lamb, forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen, and 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. You know, there is a time, and there's so much more I want to say, but there is a time when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. I was going to read some verses from Isaiah 53. It gives a perfect illustration of the Lamb of God who would not open his mouth, who was beaten, who was bruised for iniquities. But remember, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, I'm going to end with this. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and those in heaven, and those who are on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ is Lord, glory of the Father. There are going to be two types of people at that time, my friend. There are going to be those who bow their knees because they've accepted Christ as their Savior. And then there's going to be another group of people who it's too late for them, even though they did bow their knees to Christ as Lord and Savior. It's too late. They've already been damned to hell. They've already been judged and found wanting because they keep on wanting, but they keep on rejecting Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And remember, when you witness to people, sometimes you can share Isaiah 53 and open it up and say, what do you think of that? Okay? Let them speak to you. Witness to them. But I'm finding out more and more today with the age of apostasy, and I'm closing with this. There are many people who call themselves Christians, but you're just not feeling it. I'm just not, you know, my spirit is not bearing witness with. There's a lot of them out there. And in the last days, there'll be few and very, very few in the last days that we're living in. And so keep the vision of the Lamb fresh. Keep the vision as an allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength and all that I am. And I can't remember the last verse of the song, but you know what I'm getting at. You know, pledge allegiance to. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, so much. But I thank you that you make sense from so much. We thank you for the Lamb of God. Take away the sins of the world. Lord, help us to keep our allegiance to the Lamb with all our strength and all that we are. Lord, we thank you for spring. We thank you for the resurrection that's coming. We thank you for, in nature, you show yourself in many ways through creation and through the conscience and through the Word of God. And we thank you. And we'll have the closing hymn after our song of worship to you. We pray that it will be pleasing to you. We give thanks to the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen.